Muddle Test 2
Part 3 Listening Comprehension
Section A Question 11 You know, I really think you should run for class president. Everybody knows you and likes you, and you've got some great ideas.
Thanks. I have thought about it, but I'm taking 6 classes and working a part-time job. That's about all I can handle right now.
What does the woman mean? Question 12. Our plane has been circling for a long time. Why the delay?
The airport was closed for a while this morning, and things still are not back to normal.
What does the woman mean? Question 13. I am fed up with trying to get group members to pull their weight. I'm just going to do the work by myself this time.
It's your decision. I've seen many go that route, but not many who haven't regretted it.
What does the woman imply?
Question 14. Hey, congratulations on winning the essay contest. That $1,000 prize money should really come in handy.
You bet. I've already put it aside to cover the increase my landlord just announced for next year.
What does the man mean?
Question 15. How about a movie tonight? That new comedy is opening in town.
Sounds great, but I've got to finish sketches on my psychology research paper.
What does the woman imply? Question 16. Doctor, this cough medicine doesn't seem to be helping. Can you give me a different prescription?
Let's give it another day or two to see how you are doing then.
What does the doctor imply? Question 17. Do you think you feel energetic enough to walk to our study group session tonight?
If there is one. I guess you haven't heard the weather reports. Over a foot of snow is expected for this evening.
What does the woman imply? Question 18. The research project for my political science course on the presidency is due in just 2 weeks, but there's so much to talk about, I don't know how to even begin to pick a subject.
You know, Mary is doing her graduate work in political science. She would certainly know how to narrow the topic down.
What does the woman suggest the man do?
Now you'll hear the two long conversations. Conversation 1.
One of the most common questions we ask about people's behavior is why. Why did she say this? Why did he do that? Sometimes the reason is obvious. For example, someone is driving down the street, the light turns red, they stop. Why?
Because they have to. Legally, I mean.
Exactly. In this case, the reason is obvious, so we usually don't question it. But when the reason is not so obvious, and especially when the behavior could have negative consequences, we're more likely to feel a need to explain the causes of the behavior. Social psychologists have a term for this, for the process of explaining the causes of the behavior. It's called causal attribution. And one theory suggests there's a pattern in the way we go about attributing causes to people's behavior. According to this theory, there are two categories of reason, internal factors and external factors. Again, Lisa, say you're driving down the road and all of a sudden some guy turns into the lane right in front of you, and you have to slam on your brakes to avoid an accident. How do you react?
I'll probably get very angry.
Because?
Well, he's not paying attention. He's a bad driver.
So you automatically attribute the driver's behavior to an internal factor. He himself is to blame because he is careless.
So, if I said it was because of heavy traffic or something, I'd be attributing his behavior to an external factor, something beyond his control.
Good. Now, how do we usually explain our own negative behavior?
We blame external factors.
That's right. Questions 19 to 22 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 19. What is the main topic of the discussion? Question 20. According to the professor, when are people likely to try to explain someone else's behavior? Question 21. What does the man use the example of a driver who stops at a red light to demonstrate? Question 22. According to the discussion, how do most people explain their own negative behavior? Conversation 2.
Good evening, Professor. My name is Alice Brown.
Good evening, Alice. What is your question?
I've been studying Spanish for some years. I go to Spain on holiday sometimes. I've learnt quite a lot of grammar and vocabulary, but I find it very difficult to speak. And when I went to Spain this summer, I couldn't understand the Spanish people at all. I got really disheartened.
Yes, it is a problem. How long have you been studying Spanish?
About 4 years.
Yes. How exactly? Go to an evening class using tapes?
I've been going to an evening class, and I've watched quite a lot of the BBC television programs.
Oh, they're very good. Did you buy the BBC book?
No, we use a different book in the class.
Yes, I see, Alice. I always think that learning a language is rather like learning to drive. Now, You couldn't learn to drive a car by sitting in a classroom or watching television. I think what you need is a lot of practice in using the language.
That's all very well if you live in the country where they speak the language, but I don't.
Yes, I understand the problem. Though even if you live in the country where the language is spoken, you have to reach a certain standard before you are able to have conversations with the natives. I was thinking perhaps you might arrange with another student or students to have regular conversation practice.
I see what you mean. Thank you very much, Professor.
You are welcome, Alice.
Questions 23 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 23. What made Alice feel disheartened? Question 24. What is one of the ways Alice learns Spanish? Question 25. What does the professor think Alice needs? Section B.
Passage 1. We have tended to view yoga as a kind of foreign religious exercise, but in fact, from a medical standpoint, the age-old set of exercises known in the West as yoga offers a significant variety of health benefits. It increases the efficiency of the heart and slows the respiratory rate, improves fitness, lowers blood pressure, promotes relaxation, reduces stress, and allays anxiety. It is not, in itself, a cure for any medical ailment. A typical session includes three disciplines: breathing exercises, body postures, and meditation. You may also be given advice on nutrition and lifestyle. Each session usually begins with a set of gentle warming up exercises. The teacher will then ask you to focus on your breathing and may take you through several breathing exercises. At the very last, you will be asked to breathe through your nose, evenly through both nostrils. Then it's on to the yoga postures, a series of poses that typically must be held for periods of a few seconds or several minutes. As you assume the various postures, you will be asked to move gently, without jerking or bouncing. Breathing techniques remain important. You will need to focus on exhaling during certain movements and inhaling during others. Likewise, as you hold certain postures, you may be instructed to inhale through one nostril and exhale through the other. You will be allowed to rest after every three or four postures, and at the conclusion of the exercises, there is usually a period of rest or meditation.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 26. What is the main topic of the speech? Question 27. According to the speaker, what are the two main things needed for good yoga to take place? Question 28. What would a person typically do after yoga? Passage 2. Generalizing about education in the United States involves some hazard because education is decentralized and standards vary from place to place. What is more, diversity is the hallmark of American education. Education is largely a public function in America, but religious and private institutions do sponsor schools. These private schools, particularly in the primary and secondary field, are now enjoying a resurgence. Most children in America begin school in a kindergarten class at age 5. This follows with 8 years of primary education, then 4 years of high school. Education is compulsory until about age 16. The existence of large minorities, many with a primary language other than English, complicates the educational process. Many Americans do not believe that their school standards are high enough. The high rate of functional illiteracy gives credence to this charge. Higher education in America is widespread, with about 1,800 post-secondary institutions. These include 2-year community colleges, 4-year undergraduate colleges and universities, and many schools which have extensive graduate programs. Some schools are privately funded, but most receive the bulk of their funding from public sources. There is a great range of quality between higher educational institutions, and some universities have outstanding academic records. These quality differences may be overemphasized, for many non-prestige schools have excellent programs. In the long run, the individual determines the education he gets.
Questions 29 to 32 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 29. Why is generalizing about American education so difficult? Question 30. Where do most American schools obtain their funding? Question 31. Why do minorities create an educational problem in America? Question 32. What is the safe generalization about quality in American higher education? Passage 3. Today, air travel is far safer than driving a car on a busy motorway, but there is a danger that grows every year. From the moment an airplane takes off to the moment it lands, every movement is watched on radar screens. Air traffic controllers tell the pilot exactly when to turn, when to climb, and when to come down. The air traffic controllers around a busy airport may handle 1,000 planes a day. Any plane that flies near the airport comes under the orders of the controllers there. Even a small mistake on their part could cause a disaster. Recently, such a disaster almost happened. 2 large jets were flying towards the airport. One was carrying 69 passengers and had come from Toronto. The other was carrying 167 passengers from Chicago. An air traffic controller noticed on his radar screen that the 2 planes were too close to each other. He ordered one to turn to the right and to climb, but he made a mistake. He ordered the wrong plane to do this. So, Instead of turning away from the second plane, the first plane turned towards it. 15 seconds later, it flew directly in front of the second plane. They avoided each other by the smallest part of a second. The distance between them was less than that of a large swimming pool. This is just an example of the danger that grows every year.
Questions 33 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 33. Which factor can most seriously endanger airplanes according to this passage? Question 34. What happened to the large jets? Question 35. Why were the two large jets specially mentioned? Section C. Now listen to the passage.
113 million Americans have at least one bank-issued credit card. They give their owners automatic credit in stores, restaurants, and hotels, at home, across the country, and even abroad. And they make many banking services available as well. More and more of these credit cards can be read automatically, making it possible to withdraw or deposit money in scattered locations, whether or not the local branch bank is open. For many of us, the cashless society is not on the horizon. It's already here. While computers offer these conveniences to consumers, they have many advantages for sellers, too. Electronic cash registers can do much more than simply ring up sales. They can keep a wide range of records, including who sold what, when, and to whom. This information allows businessmen to keep track of their list of goods by showing which items are being sold and how fast they are moving. Decisions to reorder or return goods to suppliers can then be made. At the same time, these computers record which hours are busiest and which employees are the most efficient, allowing personnel and staffing assignments to be made accordingly. And they also identify preferred customers for promotional campaigns. Computers are relied on by manufacturers for similar reasons. Computer-analyzed marketing reports can help to decide which products to emphasize now, which to develop for the future, and which to drop. Computers keep track of goods in stock, of raw materials on hand, and even of the production process itself. Numerous other commercial enterprises bring better and more efficient services to consumers through the use of computers.
Now the passage will be read again. 113 million Americans have at least one bank-issued credit card. They give their owners automatic credit in stores, restaurants, and hotels, at home, across the country, and even abroad. And they make many banking services available as well. More and more of these credit cards can be read automatically, making it possible to withdraw or deposit money in scattered locations, whether or not the local branch bank is open. For many of us, the cashless society is not on the horizon. It's already here. While computers offer these conveniences to consumers, they have many advantages for sellers, too. Electronic cash registers can do much more than simply ring up sales. They can keep a wide range of records, including who sold what, when, and to whom. This information allows businessmen to keep track of their list of goods by showing which items are being sold and how fast they are moving. Decisions to reorder or return goods to suppliers can then be made. At the same time, these computers record which hours are busiest and which employees are the most efficient, allowing personnel and staffing assignments to be made accordingly. And they also identify preferred customers for promotional campaigns. Computers are relied on by manufacturers for similar reasons. Computer-analyzed marketing reports can help to decide which products to emphasize now, which to develop for the future, and which to drop. Computers keep track of goods in stock, of raw materials on hand, and even the production process itself. Numerous other commercial enterprises bring better and more efficient services to consumers through the use of computers.
Now the passage will be read for the third time. 113 million Americans have at least one bank-issued credit card. They give their owners automatic credit in stores, restaurants, and hotels, at home, across the country, and even abroad, and they make many banking services available as well. More and more of these credit cards can be read automatically, making it possible to withdraw or deposit money in scattered locations, whether or not the local branch bank is open. For many of us, the cashless society is not on the horizon. It's already here. While computers offer these conveniences to consumers, they have many advantages for sellers, too. Electronic cash registers can do much more than simply ring up sales. They can keep a wide range of records, including who sold what, when, and to whom. This information allows businessmen to keep track of their list of goods by showing which items are being sold and how fast they are moving. Decisions to reorder or return goods to suppliers can then be made. At the same time, these computers record which hours are busiest and which employees are the most efficient, allowing personnel and staffing assignments to be made accordingly. And they also identify preferred customers for promotional campaigns. Computers are relied on by manufacturers for similar reasons. Computer-analyzed marketing reports can help to decide which products to emphasize now, which to develop for the future, and which to drop. Computers keep track of goods in stock, of raw materials on hand, and even of the production process itself. Numerous other commercial enterprises bring better and more efficient services to consumers through the use of computers.